Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel and the all-new Opel Crossland. Beauty isn't scared of life.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Interesting messages coming through. Schools are not a babysitting service. Schools are opening due to persistent pressure from parents. The government is doing its best to keep us all safe. Look at the case numbers. We're still in a pandemic. Seriously. Another one. Please, please stop the whining and continuous criticism of the government. Of course they've made mistakes, but this virus is the winner here and so difficult to get on top of it. We're all suffering here. It's very difficult for everyone. We can't go back to another lockdown. So let's hang in there and see this through. Well, Tom Parland is with us now, Director General of the Construction Industry Federation. And Tom, you want to see your industry opened up fully, is that right?
Of course, Claire. And I suppose one important fact that I don't hear much mention of, construction is open all over the world. Like, we've had the UK shut down lately, and it's proving very, very good. But construction in the UK, in Scotland, in Northern Ireland is fully open. It's fully open right across Europe. It's fully open in the US. So other jurisdictions have looked at construction, said, look, it's a largely outdoor activity, generally has a good safety record. And it's
half a million people dead now in the United States.
Well, I mean, it's not because of construction. I mean, and I don't want to be whining, but, you know, I think this should be evidence-based. We should look at what is dangerous and what is not. Construction has been open for 9 months, and we have minimal cases. And even since January, when the new variant is around, 40% of construction sites are open, and yet we've only had 42 cases recorded by the HSE.
Isn't it a bit like the schools, though, Tom? It's not necessarily what's happening on the construction site, but it's the mobility around that. That's what we're told, anyway.
Yeah, and look at, but that's the industry, and I know, I understand the schools, and it's important that they would open. And clearly, part of the delay there is that they're trying to put together a good procedure that they will be able to operate safely. But construction has done that, and it has worked. And like, I know that people, and we hear anecdotally, people saying, oh, look, I saw several guys getting out of a van and so on. But the efforts that have been made with construction, with their workers, with the cooperation, full cooperation of their unions to advise best practice. And like I mentioned just before, one of our members down in the west of Ireland told me that he bought 20 new vans last year to facilitate his workers going to work safely. And now they're all sitting in his yard with massive payments on them. So that frustration is boiling over now. And it initially was because of mobilisation for 3 weeks. Then it got extended until the 5th of March. And now we don't know what.
So but you have a minister in there now on your side, because Minister Darragh O'Brien wants construction to open up. He had said the 5th of March. I mean, do you expect that there might be something in this plan for you?
Well, I'd still hope that common sense will prevail, because there is very serious weathering of sites now, like the deterioration sites and the works that just were called off instantly on the 6th of January. They haven't been touched since. We've had bad weather, wind and rain and leaks and so on. So there will be deterioration and cost there. But I think what's facing companies now, my members, big and small, is that they held on to their key people. They paid them all along, because first of all it was 3 weeks, then it was another month, now we don't know when. So I think there's going to be serious layoffs, redundancies, and I would be very concerned about the viability of a lot of our member firms that are just not able to hold their burning cash week in, week out, with no sign of an opening.
What about the black market, Tom?
The other area, Claire, is that 40% of the industry is open. There's a big inequality, and you know, I can understand the frustration of one company that is idle and has everything closed down, and the company right next door, just because they were lucky to be doing some projects
at this current time
that are deemed essential. Yeah.
And what about the black market? Because Robbie there, who owns the barbershop, was talking about the black market being substantial, as far as he knows, in his sector. Is that happening in construction?
Well, certainly, anecdotally, I'm hearing that a lot of the construction workers, like, they're skilled guys, they're guys that would wish to be working and wish to be active, and they're out doing nixers locally, which I'm sure is a hell of a lot less safe than if they're on a site with all the restrictions that apply on the site. But the other concern is that because construction is open in the UK and right across Europe, people are leaving here now in droves, and they're taking up jobs across. And I'd say after today, whenever the Taoiseach makes his announcement this evening, if it's not clear when construction is going to open and open fully, people will just be taking whatever chances to get and going to work where they're badly needed on European side.
Okay,
and that's
well,
just unfortunate.
Tom, let's see what happens. Thanks for joining us on the programme. Tom Parlin there. And I'm also joined by the CEO of IBEC, the business lobby group, Danny McCoy. Good morning, Danny.
Good morning, Claire.
I know you've been listening to those contributions from the various sectors there, and what we're expecting to hear today is a very slow, conservative reopening plan. But from your perspective, what impact will this have on business and the wider economy as we sink deeper, further and longer into lockdown?
Yeah, so I think the word that Taoiseach has been using throughout is prolonged. And the prolonging of that is, as Thomas said there in the construction side, is replicated. We're now seeing mid-sized and large businesses beginning to, in this uncertainty, say, we can't keep staff on any longer. So there are redundancy conversations going to be triggered by the uncertainty here. That there's no doubt about that. And then in terms of the schemes that we have in place that were designed really for getting people through a fixed period of time, they not only need to be extended, but they will need to be scaled as well. So there's a lot more to be done here. I think the when part, when we open up, is now uncertain. And I think people appreciate with the new variant, with vaccines coming, that we're likely to be looking into the summer. But how do we bridge that gap to get to the summer? And then in this evening, hopefully we will start to see some staging posts for getting the schools back, for getting the healthcare system to be fit for purpose in terms of relation to the antigen testing, the track and trace. All of these things need to be put in place now, because this may not be the only pandemic, but we've an opportunity to try and put in place a public healthcare system. And that investment in the public healthcare part needs, I think, a lot more investment as well. We've been exposed by not having enough public health, localised public health facilities, I think, through this crisis as well.
And there have been calls for the CRIS scheme, the support scheme, to be increased, doubled, say, those in hospitality. Now, listening to the Minister for Finance over the weekend, that doesn't seem likely, and he outlines just how much the government is spending on supports across the board. But if it isn't, I mean, Tom Parlin used the phrase there that businesses are burning through cash. That's just not sustainable.
It's not sustainable. And I think that we do see an end to this. We do see with the vaccination rollout and some of the good news that's coming around the rollout in other jurisdictions. We're going to be behind. That's not because I think the scheme is definitely working to the point of the speed of getting the supply and getting it into people's arms. It's a supply issue. But that we won't be able to overcome that as a small nation. And we need to be really careful as well with this idea of saying we'd be better off going it on our own way. That never works for small nations. Mm. But what we do need to do is bridge that gap. And I think with the CRIS scheme and so on, that you need to reflect the scale of the business as well. That 5,000 euros that's kind of capped per week, that's good for some businesses given their scale. But once you get up to mid-size and large businesses, it's just not enough.
NPHET has said there are too many people who are still going to work these days, and employers perhaps aren't giving enough flexibility to people to work from home. Does business have a responsibility as well? Because if numbers are stagnating because more people are at work, this is just going to make this thing last longer.
So that's true in the sense that, but a lot of what you see out there is essential work as well. I've no doubt that there are people who are rogue and actually going out into office space that could actually stay at home. But we see that in society more generally as well in terms of compliance. But right across the large businesses that I know of, the vast majority are in compliance. And any of the calls I'm on, people are at home. I don't see very few people are in an office environment and they're in businesses. So from my own evidence, the compliance in the business community is really strong. But there's certainly rogues out there.
What do you make of the criticism of the government over the last week when it comes to communications, mixed messages, the way they've chosen to deliver those messages?
I think everybody will admit this has just been chaotic, and they will too. As a society, though, I think we just have to be supportive. And now's a chance to reset tonight, and hopefully people will stay on message. And maybe they should avoid some of those occasions of putting themselves forward. Let's identify who's speaking for the government on what issues, and then just have those as the source of information.
All right, Danny McCoy, CEO of IBEC, thanks for joining us on the programme. I can't believe this text message we've just had. I returned home after a day's work last Friday to find my teenage son had organised a barber to come to the house. He and six of his friends, who also got haircuts, that's seven extra households in my house. Yes, they all wore masks, but surely a proper sterilised barber shop would be safer. Maybe I'm naive, maybe that's happening everywhere, and let me know if it is, but I'd say that woman was pretty shocked when she got home to see that happening in her house. Coming up on the programme, are house prices going to rise or fall as we exit the pandemic? We'll debate that next.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.